There they are. The Daves. Old people in cars. It's Big Jim's Garage here in the B-Pod Network. And coming up today, we're going to talk about small cars. I want to get into that as well. I've been test driving Mazda 3s, Corollas and stuff as well. Also, COVID-19 and young people affecting their car buying habits. But Michael Martinez is with us at the Automotive News. Good morning, Michael. How are you, man?
We're doing well. How about you?
Fantastic. I wanted to have you on, and we're going to touch on all those things. And but I really wanted to get into the Bronco. So after all this hype and buildup, we're going to get, it looks like, a virtual unveiling in July, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's we've seen this thing by now. You could argue we should have seen it a long time ago. We've been waiting on it for 5 years. But finally, after all the issues with the pandemic and, you know, the everybody's having to scramble to figure out their plans, we're going to see it next month.
So are we, and I know we've always heard those, the Bronco Sport, the two-door, and then the four-door, and we've been seeing, like, the videos that they show that Ford released last week of the Bronco and, you know, going off-roading, mudding, it looks like somewhere here in the state of Michigan. You're seeing the four-door version. Are they going to roll that out first now?
I believe we'll see everything. You know, we'll see the four-door, we'll see the two-door. There have been some spy shots of the two-door circulating, and quite honestly, we've seen leaked photos of both vehicles without camo.
Right.
And we'll probably see the Bronco Sport as well. They were going to do separate reveals before, but now the time frame has been so compressed, we're going to see them together.
So 2020 being what it is, Michael, I mean, obviously Ford has, you know, openly said they're going after the person who wants to buy a Jeep Wrangler. I mean, you know, even from that Design Dome presentation we had, it feels like forever ago. You know, they haven't shied away from that. Do both vehicles target the same audience, or how do you see them segmenting the two-door Sport versus the full-size one? Who are they targeting with each vehicle?
Yeah, I believe, you know, it's kind of customer who wants to go off-roading, whether that's somewhere in Moab or campsite or things of that nature. And honestly, Ford's really trying to a hard look at what Jeep's been able to do, not in vehicle sales in that segment, but in terms of accessories, just building excitement for the brand, right? I mean, Jeep is synonymous with off-roading, and it has its own dedicated fan base, essentially.
Right.
And the amount of accessories and after-sales, market sales you can get with that vehicle are phenomenal. Holy, such a strong brand name with Bronco. Other fan base.
Oh, your phone was dropping out there for a second, Michael. Sorry about that. We got you there. But, yeah, so definitely when you're talking about the Bronco. So the Bronco, it's not enough. We've seen this in the past. It's not enough just to bring back an iconic name. You have to have the vehicle to back it up. I remember, like, when the Charger first came out, a lot of people went, ah, it's got four doors. It never had four doors before. Or the Blazer came back, and it's not really the Blazer. It's just another SUV, which is fine because it's a great drive. But it's not really a Blazer. So it feels like the folks of the Bronco, in keeping in line what you're talking about, really want to keep up the Bronco brand as a badass off-road vehicle to go at Jeep.
Exactly. That's, you know, they're using a body on frame. It's going to be built on the same platform as the Ranger. And Bronco Sport's going to be a little different. It's an escape platform for a different kind of customer there. But they really want to build this thing the right way. And as an example, I think we've talked about this before, the guy in charge of the Bronco, Dave Parasek, he's leading all of Ford's icon vehicles,
right?
The Mustang Bronco. Yeah. And he was the chief engineer on the 50th anniversary Mustang. So he knows what it takes to modernize an icon. And they're hoping he can capture that same magic with Bronco.
It's fun. I mean, it's cool to see the vehicles coming back now that we're seeing the reveals and stuff. And, you know, we went from we're in this together to sense of normalcy. That's going to be the new buzzword, right? Everyone's going to have a sense of normalcy.
I hope so, yeah.
But are there other vehicles that we're missing right now that have been revealed? Like Toyota brought out that Sienna. I know it's a minivan. Don't laugh at me, but I thought it looked pretty cool the way they refreshed it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it looked great. And that was, I think, you know, the couple vehicles that Toyota did there was sort of the first of this new wave of virtual reveals that I think we're going to be seeing throughout the industry. And we'll see how the go goes. I know we have F-150 coming up, too. We should have seen F-150 by now.
Right.
We'll see that later this month. So, again, virtual reveals, we'll see how they go.
Well, that was one thing I was going to loop back to Ford, Michael. So we know we have the Raptor, we have the Tremor, their F-250, you know, the 351, they do their big thing. So Ford Performance is going to have even a bigger role in the Ford Motor Company going forward with all these vehicles, right?
Exactly. And that's on purpose. And, you know, we can get into the small car conversation here later on, but, you know, it's all about margins for them. And Ford Performance, the margin they get on vehicles is phenomenal, right? People are willing to pay for, like you said, badass, you know, off-road, really high-performing vehicles. Yeah. And that's what we've seen, and they're going to focus on that as well as their SUV.
Well, and you'd mentioned the small car thing. Michael Martinez with us from the Automotive News. We're talking about the Bronco getting to be unveiled virtually next month. And then we should see this in the showroom Q1 of next year?
That's right, yeah, early 2021.
Now, and again, we're going to find out, though. Do you think it's a good move to roll them both out at the same time, or do you stagger the launch? Because originally I was always under the impression that we were going to see the Sport first and then the full-size one next year.
In terms of when they go on sale, we'll still see the Sport before the big guy. But in terms of the reveal, they really have no other choice. We should have seen both months ago by now, and they're losing time, essentially. They have to start getting these things production ready down at their assembly plants.
Okay. You mentioned small cars. The reason I wanted to bring this up, Michael, is I've spent some time doing reviews for the Garage page here locally here in the Motor City, and I've driven a couple small cars. I had the new Corolla, and then I've also, this week I'm driving a Mazda 3. And it's funny when you're driving these cars and you realize they're both under 30 grand with adaptive cruise control and all the tech that you would want in a Bose sound system. And the Mazda, and both of them, a really comfortable ride. And you start looking around going, did the U.S. automakers get out of the small market, the small car business a little too soon?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and it's going to be interesting to see, especially how this pandemic affects, what customers want. And if gas prices start to rise, you know, you always wonder, did they pull the plug too soon? But again, it really comes down to margin. It doesn't really come down to sales. It comes down to margin. And a lot of these companies were losing money on these small cars. So they're trying to get more lean, and that's even more imperative.
So
they need to keep...
Oh, no, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, they need to keep making money. The path to do that right now is trucks and SUVs.
Yeah, but wasn't it always that the template was you sell the small cars to get people into the brand, and then you let them work their way up. But because of the environment, maybe that you, like you're saying, that they don't have time to wait 5-10 years for someone to go from a small car to a full-size or a full-size SUV or something.
Yeah, that's right. And they would make the argument that you can do that with, you know, really small crossovers, something like the EcoSport or the Spark, you know, something of that size and price point. It's a little bit more expensive than, you know, your Focus, Fiesta, you know, if we're sticking with the Ford examples.
Right.
But they think they can get some entry level buyers. Well, let's be honest, Jim, like they're giving up to these buyers to, you know, the other automakers, the Toyotas, Hyundai's, Kia's world, right? They're just losing that. They're not. But again, at the end of the day, they think the margin on these other vehicles will more than make up for that.
But if they read their history books, this is how you let Toyota get into the market in the first place, right? I mean, this is how they did it. The Honda, them, there was an opening, and they saw it, and they did it. So if I'm Honda, I'm going to push the hell out of the Civic now.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying that. You see, you know, this industry is definitely cyclical, and you go back 20, 30 years, and some of the same people started favoring the large gas guzzler.
Yeah.
See change to fuel-efficient, government-mandated sort of fuel-efficient vehicles. And who knows, maybe that'll happen again. The automakers think this change is here to stay, but, I mean, history doesn't really go agree with them there.
But we've seen over the years, and when you see this in any sort of, I don't want to say psychographic, but I believe that's the right term, you don't want to drive the same car your parents drive. You don't. No young person wanted to drive a minivan for 30 years. They didn't want to be caught dead in a minivan that their parents had. So it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for people to go, like a young generation to go like, I don't want to drive an SUV. I don't want to drive a CUV. They're all over the place. I call them belly buttons right now because they're everywhere. So maybe these small cars have their day coming back around. Just what you said, Michael, the cyclical nature of the auto industry.
And I think another important thing to point out, like you're still going to have the Camaro, those aren't going away anytime soon. So if you are, if you do want to rebel, right, and sort of, you know, get something your parents didn't have in the future, you know, the car is the way to go. And it's, I think those are always, you know, be cool.
And then the other thing was too, there, you wonder like the impact with Uber and, you know, and your, and Lyft rides and stuff. We have a generation, you know, that, you know, like my son is in college and I've got a younger one in high school. He has complete, he's not sure when he's going to get an Uber because of COVID-19. So I would assume that younger 20 to 30 demographic who maybe never really considered a car because they liked ride sharing, they like that, are now looking for a small car or an inexpensive car to ride.
Yeah, and that's right. This is a completely different conversation than what we'd be having 3 months ago.
Right. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're 100% right. But, and then you see Uber trying to buy DoorDash. So that's the world we're in, right? Wait a minute. Uber's trying to buy DoorDash. Okay. This is all crazy. Anything else that we should know about, Michael, as far as, I mean, obviously we touched on the Bronco because it's such a big reveal and such an important one for Ford Motor Company. But other vehicles coming down the pipeline that maybe we're going to see virtually?
Well, again, you have the F-150. For all the hype around Bronco, F-150 is still 10 times more important to Ford. Oh. Bottom. See how they're going to, you know, bounce back against FCA and GM with some of the gains they've been able to make with their new trucks. So we'll see that at the end of this month.
Are we going to see a hybrid then? Well, we've heard the rumblings. So we'll see a hybrid version of the F-150?
They'll have it coming. I'm not entirely sure whether or not we'll see it at this reveal. They may try to stagger those reveals, but who knows?
Does Nissan stick with the Titan as a truck? I mean, the truck I had was a fun truck, but man, how are you going to make any headway in this market with the big three and the trucks they're cranking out right now?
I think they've been contemplating getting rid of it. I don't think they're at that point just yet. You know, again, there's still, it comes down to margin, comes down to the money they can make. For whatever few vehicle sales they do have, they can make some money on it. But you're right, they're not going to crack the market. It's a very, very niche sort of buyer here in the U.S.
Is the Ridgeline a moneymaker for Honda? I would assume so. You do see them around.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure there, but it's a three company.
Oh, yeah, we're losing you on your phone there, Mike. We got to get you a better phone there, brother.
Oh yeah, man, I'm sorry about this.
Oh, don't worry about it. We got it. We got lots of good stuff. But we were saying that when it comes to Ridgeline, I see a lot of them, and it was one of them. When I put a video up of this thing a couple of years ago, it was the most viewed video I'd put on YouTube for the Ridgeline.
Yeah, no. I think, you know, you want to see what they're going to do, right? And yeah. I think the quality's gotten a lot better. You mentioned the Titan. I think some of the previous generations or what they put out in the past is awesome. But again, you're not going to do anything. You're fighting for fourth place.
Yeah. It's a really interesting platform, man. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with it. I hope they stick with it because, yeah, it's that city truck thing is definitely there. Michael Martinez, Automotive News. Appreciate the time, buddy, and thank you for the insight on that, man. We'll keep an eye on what's going on over the next couple months.
Thanks, sir.
All right, there he goes, Michael Martinez. Sorry about the phone, guys, but hey, we had him on the phone there. Couple other notes to touch on real quick here before we wrap up this our podcast here. And you can subscribe, by the way, bpodstudios.com. You can find us there and anywhere with podcasts. There was an interesting thing with Roger Penske. So Roger Penske was asked on, and I couldn't get the audio, AJ Allmendinger had him on his Brick to Brick podcast. There were talk, Ferrari said that they were interested in racing, that they were actually interested in the idea of, getting involved in IndyCar, and everyone went, oh, fine. It's just them, you know, throwing people off or whatever. Penske said he has had discussions with him. Now it would be 2022 is when they get the new racing package in IndyCar, but he said they have had discussions. So they're really contemplating this, which is amazing. If you think about it. The idea of having Ferrari come in as a third manufacturer, we all thought it was going to be Volkswagen or Ford was going to come back with McLaren or something like that, you know, to do something. But man, if Ferrari's serious about it, so going to be interesting. It was good to see IndyCar back racing on the last Saturday night, Scott Dixon winning. And those cars, man, still, I don't think those drivers felt too comfortable on that track. That was the first race they've had since, what, November? There was no rubber down on that track and not enough practice time to put in a groove, but they still drove the hell out of it. And then Kevin Harvick wins in Atlanta. If you're on a mile and a half track, who's the one NASCAR driver you take? One race. Is it Harvick? Is it Kyle Busch? Denny Hamlin? I don't know. I'll tell you who's really driving his ass off and not getting the results is Clint Bowyer. You would think that Clint Bowyer, man, he's right there. They're right there. Anyway, it's good to talk real racing. Cars and stuff, too. Again, thanks to our guest, Michael Martinez, Automotive News. Some insight into the Bronco. Okay, guys? So, if you want to subscribe, once again, sorry. I'm sitting here. I got the Bronco on the brain, dude. If you want to subscribe, bpodstudios.com, or just follow us there. You can hit me up locally on Twitter, at WCSXGM. That's where we're based here in the Motor City. It's how we get a lot of this insight and stuff. We're still going to talk about Apex, the guy who drove across the country in 32 hours. Seriously. Alex Roy, great guy. We're going to get him on soon. You guys be safe. Have fun.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.